This is David Collins, and this is BitNote. We'll be talking about video games and playing some good old video game music. Enjoy! I haven't given credits for that intro theme in a while, so just so you all remember, it was composed by Seth Beatfox Pillay. Now, we're going to start off with a bit of a classic from a genre I don't normally play music from, racing games. Hope you enjoy. The tune you just heard was the intro for Lotus Turbo Challenge 2, developed by Magnetic Fields and published by Gremlin Graphics, with music by Bob Leitek. I don't actually normally play racing games, but Lotus Turbo Challenge 2 was one of the ones that got my interest. It's a very fun game. You're actually, as you may have guessed from the title, you're playing on real cars, and this was back in the early 90s, so putting real cars into video games, you know, with the brand name and everything, it was pretty unusual. Actually, the first game was actually called Lotus Esprit Turbo Challenge because you were playing as the Lotus Esprit SE, Turbo SE car. For this game, they added an extra car, the Elan, and so obviously they had to change the title. It's a fun game because there's just a good sense of speed and fun to it. You get a view of the cars from behind, and I mean, this is before like 3D graphics, but so they were still having that effect where, you know, by using 2D sprites, they were developing the whole scenery ahead in front of you. And I mean, it was fun. You were sometimes dealing with driving through really thick fog, and other times a bright sunny day in a forest, and you could sometimes drive right over a log and jump right into the air. And there was actually one level that was a lot of fun later on in the game. Basically, they had all these articulated lorries just cross the path deliberately. And so what you tried to do was drive it so the car went directly under the rear end of the articulated lorry, like a Bond movie or something. And then you heard this yee-haw sound start up. So it was a fun game. I mean, even me, who doesn't like racing games that much, there was just a sense of fun, a sense of speed to it. And And also there were some nice cheats to it as well. There was one that gave you infinite time by typing in turpentine. And there was this weird one. If you typed in the password dux, D-U-X, you get a basically a shooting gallery game, which I couldn't help but notice is quite different from the racing genre. But games like could be like that back then. They'd just take you by surprise. And I have to say, Lotus Turbo Challenge, really fun. Great sense of speed, great graphics, and as you've just heard, it had great music as well. Really gets you in the mood, all right. Okay, now I'm going to play some music by a genre that I'm a slightly more familiar with. Yes, it's a genre where you go around and shoot stuff. How did you possibly guess? Here it is. That was music by Tom Bible from Judge Dredd, Dredd vs. Death by Rebellion Developments. Now, some of you may have heard of Judge Dredd before. He's basically a comic book character that started life in the science fiction magazine called 2000 AD. As you can see over time, the title doesn't quite sound as sci-fi as it was when it was originally invented back in the 70s. The whole idea was it took place in the future where everything got exaggerated, so the size of cities were exaggerated, consumerism, and crime has become so out of control that they've had to revamp the justice system. So instead of having police officers that arrest, and then prosecutors and judges, basically the judge, jury and executioner and police officers get combined into a single role who are called the judges. And of course, Judge Dredd is one of them. So he goes around and he's basically instantly able to arrest and sentence and completely convict anyone he comes across. And of course, that's exactly what you do in the game. The very first level has you arresting protesters and giving them sentences of 5 years. In a lot of ways... I mean, that's kind of what the game and the comic book was about. It was always a bit tongue-in-cheek. It was always a little over the top. But at the same time, it wasn't over the top to the point of utter ridiculousness. It was just a gigantic satire, and that's really how it worked out. I mean, the whole game takes place in what's called Mega City 1, which is basically a city that has grown to be the size of the entire East Coast of America, and with buildings so high that the Empire State Building is seen as like a... just a novelty for how high it is. It's just everything's just full-on satire, and actually that's one of the things that really works with the video game. It's got a sense of humor about it. I mean, it's like I said, you end up going into these underground smoking pubs because, you know, smoking apparently is outlawed. I didn't read enough of the comic to know to pick up on all the references. Your antagonists are like four, I don't know, ghost beings. I was never quite sure who you were battling. I'm sure it was explained properly in the comics. But at the same time, the fight is almost more of a diversion. It's all the locales you go into. I mean, here's a fun thing. There's a shopping center level, and that's the first level where you encounter zombies, and it's also the first level that you gain a shotgun. Yeah, I mean, that just shows the game developers really knew what they were doing. And remember, I said in a previous episode how sometimes there weren't very many B video games, you know, games that were kind of bad but were still enjoyable. Well, I mean, I'm not saying that this is. Judge Dredd is kind of one of those games. You're not really saying that it's winning any awards for graphics or technology or anything, but it's just a fun game, and you know, it's enjoyable to have a game that you don't have to take seriously. Another nice aspect of the game is that you don't actually have to kill every person, every enemy you meet, which I know that I play a lot of violent video games or games where you shoot people, but I mean, I know it's all fantasy and everything, but at the same time, I kind of like games where it give you a little more diversity, you know, have a bit of more humanity in them. And even though saying that Judge Dredd has humanity is kind of a crazy proposition, at the same time, when you encounter like thugs who are shooting at you, you have the option to try to aim and shoot at the gun out of their hand, or at least get a bullet in their arm so they drop the gun. And when they run around with the gun, you can basically just arrest them. So it's possible to get through a lot of levels without actually killing that many people, unless, of course, it's a vampire zombie, you know, something that's not going to be arrested. I mean, what do? Put a vampire in the prison for life? Or a zombie? So that's kind of one of the things that I really like about it. Either the enemies are so, like, you know, supernatural or demonic or whatever, that you don't mind about just blasting the heck out of them with explosive rounds, or else they're just run-of-the-mill criminals, in which case you can deal with them effectively and then just send them to prison, possibly for the rest of their life. It's a far more humane approach, one would say. I better not keep continuing on this, or else this conversation could become fairly political. But, I mean, if anything else, I just like it that there are more options available to you. I actually hear there's a game called SWAT, and basically part of the whole thing about the game is you're trying to take down terrorists as a SWAT team, but you can actually just handcuff every criminal you meet, so if you do it effectively, no one actually has to die. And I really gotta play that game sometime. Maybe it should be interesting. Right, so on to our next track anyway. This is also something to do with crime, but in a far, far different direction and emphasis. I actually better give you a bit of an intro to this one, since the context really does help. Basically, your characters are Sam and Max, a dog crete in private investigator and his assistant, who is a rabbity thing. Essentially, they've been called to Teddy Bear's Mafia, Ted E. Bears, you know, it's a name, Ted E. Bear, ha ha ha. So Teddy Bear's Mafia Free Playland and Casino. So yes, Teddy Bear's Mafia Free Playland and Casino. So, wait, why exactly does they say that it specifically say that it's mafia free? Well, the answer to that question is very simple, because there are no mafia in Teddy Bear's Mafia Free Playland and Casino. And they want to make sure at all points that you are well aware that there are absolutely no mafia involved in this playland and casino. And hence, they even made a song about it. So have a listen.
Welcome, welcome, generous friends. Days and weeks and tokens to spend. We're just regular businessmen, just you and me and Teddy Bear. Teddy Bears is oodles of fun. Slots and sandwiches and poker and gun. And look, no mobsters, nary a one. With you and me and Teddy Bear. Not mafia, no.
No mafia mugs.
We're mafia free.
Like mafia, please.
No shady leaves upon the family tree. J. Edgar Hoover always insists organized crime just doesn't exist. QED, they're not in our midst. Say Edgar, me and Teddy Bear. No goons, no droppers, no grippers, no thugs. No dips, no clippers, no chippies, no lugs. No button men packing gaps loaded with slugs. It's you and me and Teddy Bear.
no mafia here.
Black mafia, please.
We're mafia free.
No mafia here.
No mafia mugs. Just doing business legitimately.
Yeah, it kind of, that's a good song, all right. The game it's from is called The Mole, the Mob, and the Meatball, which is episode 3 of Sam and Max Save the World series. And there's some things, I'll get into the episode. It was made by Telltale Games, and the music there was composed by Jared Emerson Johnson. As you can see, it's a fun enough tune. Essentially, the Sam and Max games, I mean, actually, there was it's a Sam and Max game in the early 90s. But what happened was the Sam and Max games went under for a couple of years. And then LucasArts says they were developing a new one called Sam and Max Freelance Police. And everyone was really excited. Sam and Max was originally based on this comic series and even had their own TV series in the early 90s. So this is going to be their grand adventure return, a classic duo, a classic advent game series and a new game. And then LucasArts cancelled it. Yep. So then people left LucasArts and said, screw this, we're going to make that game anyway. Got the license for it and made a completely new series called the Sam and Max series by Telltale Games. Now, these are adventure games. Actually, that was one of the reasons why LucasArts cancelled it. As I've told you before, adventure games were really popular in the early 90s, but towards the end of the 90s, they became slightly less popular, and LucasArts, who had originally made some of the greatest adventure games out there, kind of quit the business by that stage and just focused on other sorts of games like endless Star Wars ripoffs and stuff. Well, actually, it wasn't a ripoff, it was an original game, but spin-off, right. But, the funny thing, as I've said about adventure games before, is that I think they're in a lot of ways, they're more immersive than other media. You're able to control characters directly. You're not making the same action over and over again. What you can do in each has different environments pop up. You can do different actions. I think this has got a lot of potential. Well, of course, it's been shown to have a lot of potential. So it was pretty cool when Telltale Games took the license and basically made a series of Sam and Max games, adventure games, no less. It's kind of got what's called an episodic format, and the whole idea is to make small games but release them very frequently. Now, a lot of game companies have tried to do this, but Telltale Games are really the only developer that actually succeeded. I mean, Valve also tried to do the old episodic thing at the same time, and I think in the time it took Telltale Games to release over 30 games, Valve released 2. So yeah, this doesn't work well for everyone. But the Sam and Max is a fun series. You're basically playing what freelance police, a cartoon dog and his rabbity companion. It's kind of funny playing 2 songs in a row where you play basically a law enforcement official. But whereas with Judge Dredd it was bitter sarcasm and satire of society as a whole, Sam and Max is more just slapstick comedy. Nothing's to be taken seriously, and while they do throw in their own good bit of satire here, whether they're satirizing the internet or past child idol stars, it's still just over the top and pretty relaxed about the whole thing. I think my favorite quote of the entire series is when Max and Sam and Max are suddenly given the opportunity to star in this sitcom, and they said, when Sam says, "Hooray, we're going to be celebrities," Max replies, "Rocketing to fame for the most insubstantial of reasons. This truly is the American dream." I wasn't so sure on the series' humor at the beginning, but it definitely developed, and I mean, there's some good writing in there, all right. Other times it can be a little trickier. Like all adventure games, sometimes you're not quite sure what you're meant to be doing, so you just tend to do whatever you assume that the developer wants you to do and assume that it'll somehow work towards you going forward in the plot, and to be honest, normally it does. But like I said, it's just one of the reasons that episodic games worked with this format is because, like I said, each episode was different. I mean, the first episode, you're just dealing with old celebrities. The second episode, you were basically involved in a sitcom. The third, as you heard, was involved in mafia-free Playland and Casino. And I think with the fourth, I forget if the fourth involved you destroying the entire internet or you getting involved in American politics. But either way, it was a fun ride. Especially that one where you're driving down the street chasing after a gigantic Abraham Lincoln. But there you go. Okay, so we're going to move on to our last track now. And here's a bit of a surprise for you guys. The song is actually in Irish and is sung by an Irish singer. Yep, it's kind of rare for this to happen in video game music, but it has happened. And what's more, it wasn't just for any old video game. This was for Metal Gear Solid. Now, if you haven't heard of Metal Gear Solid, it was released in the mid-90s, and boy, was this a classic game in so many respects. Let me set it up for you. You're basically you're Solid Snake, this agent who's done so many things in the course of freedom in previous games. And then you've decided that you're sick of war, it's time for retirement. And that doesn't last long, because by the beginning of the game, you're already swimming aboard a terrorist-infested island. Now, I know it might sound a little cliche, oh, you're a hero going against terrorists, what more can you add to that? Well, my friend, Hideo Kojima takes that question as a challenge when he created this game, and boy, I mean, talk about gameplay, tense gameplay. You're not gunning all the enemies down like any other game, oh no. It's about stealth this time. This game pretty much popularized stealth throughout the 90s, and while that can't be annoying because it meant that any game suddenly had a moment where you weren't able to kill enemies. At the time, it was tense. You had to sneak your way around, avoid enemy contact sight, and if you set off an alarm, you had to run and hide somewhere. He was inspired a lot by childhood games of hide and seek, but the whole suspension, the stress and running around, it's just... And not only that, the plot of the game. I mean, a lot of the times video game plots are disposable, but this is a guy who puts so much energy and time into working it out. Each of your enemies, the main bosses, have their own quirks, backstory, history. And throughout the game, it's not just standard defeat the terrorists, but there's questions about, you know, what are you fighting for? Why do you keep at it? You know, if they're... And basically, a lot of the characters in the game have to deal with the fact that they're just dealing with... such forces against their control, and so much desire in humankind for destruction, and they just fight against that, which is, and that's another great thing, another game where there's a bit of a morality to this whole thing, where you can actually get through the game without needing to have to kill all the enemy soldiers, although, well, not some of the major enemies, because, you know, they're the ones most dedicated to taking you down, but I don't know, it's just the set pieces, the diversity, and the switches in gameplay. I mean, in some ways it was almost limited. I mean, you can move him left, right, up and down. You can make him crawl under certain areas and use certain weapons, but they just knew how to keep mixing it up. It had some of the best boss fights because each one challenged you in a different way. I mean, one of them involved you at the top of a tower with a jet fighter shooting down on you. Another one was basically you going toe-to-toe with a tank with all you had were grenades, and... Then let's not forget the one where you've got a guy with a gigantic Gatling gun, or the other one, Psycho Mantis. They were all of them just challenged you in different ways, made you think differently. And I suppose that's one of the powers of the games, because a lot of games it's very easy just to have a gameplay pattern in it to repeat itself, but in this one you constantly got challenged, either through new gameplay methods or suddenly new plot twists or plot events, and the characters felt real. And trust me, when it got to the final climax for the ultimate showdown, oh boy, I mean, you just kept going and you kept going, and it's just, it was one gigantic fight, let me tell you that. And it didn't quite end there. But this song plays at the very, very end. It plays when the main threat for now has been dealt with. And you're suddenly finding yourself in the icy, cold wastes of Alaska. With a friend you've been loyal to. And I mean, it's a quiet moment. You've just managed to get through, and you've actually managed to learn more about yourself in the process, because indeed a lot of your experience has been trying to question who you are and realize what your role in everything is. But for now you're settled. For now you have your companion. And you suddenly decide, you make your way down to this place where you can find your way out of there. And for now you have peace and an idea of all the possibilities that still lie ahead of you. The name of the song is called The Best Is Yet To Come. It's arranged by Rika Baranka, and it's been sung by Ethan Eferic. So we've got some nice Irish talent. As I've told you, it was from Metal Gear Solid by Konami. This has been David Collins with Bitnote. Hope to see you soon.